Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
Avish Parashar is a professional speaker who shows managers and organizations how to be more flexible and how to think quickly on their feet. Using ideas and exercises from improvisational comedy, Avish gets audiences laughing, learning, and energized to action. Avish has spent over 15 years performing, directing, and teaching improv comedy. He even wrote a book about it. Now he works with organizations and departments that want to be more successful by quickly making the most of the unexpected and improving core communication skills. He has applied improv comedy principles to a variety of areas, including dealing with change, leadership, and yes, even sales. Today, Avish is going to share one idea from improv to help you be a more effective salesperson. Avish, welcome to Comcast Spotlight's Sales Drive CD.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Our theme this month is simplify. We've been talking about that, and you have an idea to share with us that will help us simplify our selling mindset. But before we get to that, can you tell us really what exactly improv is and how it relates to sales?
Sure. There's some confusion. Improv comedy is a form of theater where performers take the stage with nothing prepared in advance and just make it up as they go along and use audience suggestion to create comedy. It's not stand-up, which is what Jerry Seinfeld does, which is where you pre-write it out and it's just one person. And it's very different because you're just making it up as you go along. And it's like the TV show Whose Line Is It Anyways, if you've ever seen that.
Oh, definitely.
So it's you know, they just keep going and flow with what they've got. And sometimes people look at that and say, well, how does that relevant? You know, it might be funny, but how is that related to life or to sales or anything like that? And the funny thing about that is life is improvised. You know, we're making it up as we go along. We don't have a script as much as we like to with our day planners and whatnot. You know, we just make it up as we go along. And in sales, if everything went exactly according to our plans and our scripts, everyone would be immensely successful and rich. The real challenge with sales is that a lot of times things don't go like you'd like, and it's how you deal with those unexpected things that determine whether you're going to be successful and make the sale or not. And when it comes to this simplifying thing and how that relates to improv, I teach what I consider a four-step process to improvise. And it sounds kind of odd that I have a process about
a process to be not processed.
Yeah, and the thing with improv, what I discovered about people who improvise well, whether it's on stage or not, it comes down to what they do automatically. It's what they do reflexively. And what I identify as this four-step process is what great improvisers do automatically. Now, if you're not doing it automatically right now, you might have to do it consciously and step through the process yourself. But the more you practice it, the more it becomes automatic, the better you are right in the moment. And the first one of those, first step in that process is to immediately focus on your outcome. And what I mean by that is when something unexpected happens, the best improvisers are the ones who are able to step back and take a look at the big picture and say, what do I really want to accomplish here? And the people who are the ones who get stressed out and have trouble dealing with the unexpected, they're the ones who get bogged down in the little details. Or they focus on things that don't support their outcome, like laying blame, you know, running around saying, I knew this would happen, or why did you do this? You know, people who focus on the outcome and take steps to get to that outcome immediately are the ones who flow the best. And I learned this in improv comedy because if you've ever seen an improv show, you know there are lots of different games that people play, and they all have these different rules. Like, for example, there's one game where you get a letter of the alphabet from the audience, and you're not allowed to use that letter in any word you say. But you have to talk normally. It's a very fun game if it's done right. And what I realized is that people who do that game wrong are the ones who focus on the rule. So they try so hard to not use that letter. It's not fun to watch. And the people who do really well at that game are the ones who say, okay, that's just a rule. That's my tool. But the real goal, the real outcome I want is to entertain this audience. And if they say the letter, they make a mistake, you know, they deal with it, but they achieve their outcome. And what I mean by that is that I've seen people who are technically great improvisers, but they're boring as all get out. And I've seen people who make some mistakes, but they achieve their goal of entertaining the crowd, which is what it's all about. Now, I'm assuming most people who are listening to this probably will never perform improv comedy, and that's okay. So let's talk about how that relates to sales.
Or if they do, we'll be one of the ones that are really boring.
Yeah, well, you know, I think anyone can improvise, which is one of my premises, but that's a whole other call. So talking about sales. In sales, and it's real simple and obvious, but in sales, the goal is to close the sale. And I think a lot of times we all forget that. You know, the goal is not to read the script. It's not to say some great line you've got in your head you think is going to really build rapport. It's not to give them a sample. You know, sometimes salespeople get so caught up in the first step, like, you know, I got to make sure I get the sample in their hands, that they might not even realize that the prospect may be ready to buy, and you're walking out the door just having given them some information, thinking you had a great meeting, because you go in to that meeting with the wrong outcome in mind. And it's always important for everyone to remember what the outcome is. So the script, the sales, the demos, the samples, all that stuff, it's just to support the goal. And I learned this kind of the hard way once, because I was on a phone sales call once, and it was with a relatively new industry. I had done a gig for someone similar to that, and I had written in my notes, like, you know, make sure you say this, because that's going to let them know that you kind of get what they're all about. And, you know, conversations have a life of their own, and through the course of the conversation, then there was never really a good moment for me to say that. So there was one point where it was really tangential, and I'm like, all right, I got to say this, let me say it now. So I threw this line in there. And you know when you get that awkward pause in a conversation?
Right.
The other person just kind of stops and doesn't really know what to say. And they're like, okay, well, that's nice, and then we move on. I mean, and it really just broke the rapport, broke the flow of the conversation. And suffice to say, I didn't get the sale. Now, whether that was just because I said that line or something else, you know, who knows. But the fact of the matter is that I really blew it because I was so focused on this goal of saying this one line, I forgot the real goal, which was to close the sale. And, you know, so I think any salesperson really, as stupid as it sounds, we all know that's the goal. I think we get so reliant on our checklists and our scripts that we forget to pay attention to what we really want. And that's doubly important when something unexpected happens, because sometimes someone gets off a script because the client asks some other question, and their goal becomes, okay, let me get back to my script, as opposed to, okay, well, let's see where the client's going now. Let's play with this. This might lead to even bigger sale. And, you know, so that's a great, powerful sales technique. And when it comes to simplifying, you know, I'm talking right now about, you know, sales call, but when it comes to simplifying, I think people complicate things way too much by focusing on the little details and losing sight of the why. This outcome idea comes primarily from productivity. It's if you know why you're doing something, you may be able to find a better way of doing it that's more efficient. You know, or
we have so many bells and whistles here,
mm-hmm,
that we sometimes get caught up in, have I used all my bells and whistles? Am I impressing this client? Have I shown him all the research? Have I showed him this promotion? Have I showed him this and this and this? Because there's just so much great that we have, yet we don't realize that after the second thing, they might have been prepared to buy, and we go 8 more things, and now we've totally confused them.
Oh, yeah, and that's, you know, and all those bells and whistles are great, but, I mean, they're just tools, and I think that's what gets forgotten. They become, you know, people start using them as crutches, like you said, like, oh, let me get all of these in there. And, you know, as I'm sure you know, you can talk yourself out of a sale.
And it's a skill to know really how to analyze a client and say, this is the minimum I think it's going to take to sell them, because that's my outcome that I want, and that's what I'm focused on, and just sticking with that minimum and only going above that minimum when you've tried to close them and they still have concerns or objections that you need to overcome, and therefore then you need to bring in more proof or more success stories or more help. But we go to the maximum every single time before it's really needed.
Right, and it's a process. You know, I was working once with a friend of mine. I was giving some advice, and he's a musician. So he had talked to this client, and the client was pretty much ready to hire him. And, you know, he just needed to kind of send them a proposal. And he asked me, he's like, well, you know, should I send them my demo CD as well with the proposal? And I'm like, no, they want to hire you. You know, let them sign the contract. I mean, if you send them the demo, that's just one more step. They're going to now, okay, well, let me listen to the demo now before hiring this guy. You know, it's like you said, with those bells and whistles, you're actually putting barriers in the way of the client hiring you. But we all do it because that's why I love improv, because improv realizes that it's not, there's no checklist. There's no, here's all the things you have to say. It's just, you know, what do I need to do to make this happen?
Right. Wow, that's really, like you said, it's very simple, but I appreciate how you've framed it, because I think it's going to be really impactful. We just need to focus on the outcome, which is closing the sales,
mm-hmm,
and what can we do to get there without all the complexity and all the details. So thank
you
so much for joining us, and I look forward to some future sessions with you as well.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Rebecca.